And he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. A couple of years ago, at our men's retreat, we talked about St. Joseph, the fulcrum of faith. We have a new context to share this more broadly with our congregation today, loosely based on that theme that I talked about a couple of years ago. Now, do you remember from your middle school science class what a fulcrum is? It's the point on which a lever turns, right? The fulcrum. Now, I bring up this point because Mary had the greatest fulcrum moment of faith, because her yes undoing that no, that disobedience of Eve, was the lever on which redemptive history moved forward. Her yes was the point on which that turned, that lever turned. But now in today's reading, we see the spotlight is now turned on Joseph. For as we heard, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home." Do not be afraid, the angel says to him, because there is potentially a lot to lose by taking her into his home. What would people think about this pregnancy that is out of order? But he was unwilling to put her to shame, yet there's a lot hanging on his decision. For after all, not only does he need to make a choice as to what extent he will protect Mary, we have the weight of redemptive history on his shoulders, for the passage continues. "For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So, not only the protection of Mary, but the salvation of the world seems to be hinging on his decision. Can you relate to his experience? Well, you may be thinking, I haven't had an angel appear to me in a dream lately, and I don't know that the whole spotlight of human history shines on me. But actually, the spotlight is on you and on me. For after all, we are in a new context of building the kingdom of God, in which each of us has received the Great Commission to go and build the church. And each of us has our own sphere of responsibility in which that plays out. And so, in this case, we have a specific charge, every one of us, and especially men, to reflect that charism of fatherhood for actual fathers as well as would-be fathers. And so, what will Joseph do? What will you and I do with the command that we've received? If we are to be faithful in our own sphere of responsibility, we need to hear what Joseph heard next. As the angel said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. So we can be faithful as Joseph was faithful if we remember that God is with you in the command, God is with you in your decision, and God is with you as you walk it out. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's first consider the command. As St. Augustine famously said, "Give what you command, O God, and then command as you will." You see, what he understood is that we are unable to walk out God's commands unless he gives us the strength to do so ahead of time. And so ultimately, what Augustine is confessing and what you and I must believe as well is that his power is in your work. His enabling precedes the imperative. And so in this sense, we have baptismal grace. We must be able to claim this if we're able to walk in it. Our Lord restores the image of God in us, which was marred through the fall. And we have the example of our Lord Jesus Christ through the cross and the resurrection, but all the more we have the Holy Spirit who enables us to keep his commands. Which, the beginning of Romans 8, where Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the context of how we're able to keep God's commands. And so, this is important for us in many ways, because we are called to, yes, image God more fully in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in light of St. Joseph, while this applies to men and women alike, but especially that call to fatherhood. Men are called to protect, to serve, as Joseph did. And in this, men have been given the essence of fatherhood, given that image to walk into that has been restored all the more in Christ. And I mention father specifically today because there was an article in the Atlantic Monthly just this past week written by Peggy Orenstein, and it was called The Miseducation of the American Boy. The subtitle is this, which is worth reading in full. Why boys crack up at rape jokes, think having a girlfriend is gay, and still can't cry. And why we need to give them new and better models of masculinity. We have that model in Joseph, a model for all of us for walking in the way of God's commands. But there was one particular boy in this article, she named him Cole, who had difficulty walking out this very idea of staying with his integrity that he knew was right. And so he was in the locker room, and he found that when one particular upperclassman was disrespecting an underclass girl that he knew, he stepped up and spoke against it, and he saw that he was losing social capital as a result. And so he found, I can't do this anymore and maintain my relationships. At which point he looked at his interviewer, at this point, the author, Peggy Orenstein, in the eye and said, how do I make sure that my own dignity and my relationship with others are not in conflict? This is a question for all of us. And we're able to answer the question as we consider that Emmanuel, God, is with us as we make our decision, and he is with us as we walk it out. Let's be clear. There are forces that work against us when it comes to living out our life in integrity in Christ. We have social cues, right, that are worldly. We have the company that we keep, which is not always consistent with our Christian mission. And we have a whole life's worth of conditioning, which works against the gospel in many ways. And especially for boys, as Peggy Orenstein points out, working against their call to protect, serve, honor women. Let's just consider pornography. Anytime a man dips into pornography, he's showing that he doesn't have what it takes to protect women. There's nothing that undermines women's dignity more than that. Well, there are things that may undermine it more, but that's certainly an indication of failure to protect. But many ways we're called, men and women, to abdicate our role to represent God in this world. And so we can make the right decision because we have a choice. Now, psychologists talk about the reptilian brain, that brain, that aspect of our brain that responds to impulses, which sometimes seem overwhelming. But you know what? As humans in the image of God, we also have what is known as the limbic brain, which is the seat of value judgments that we make and exert a strong influence on our behavior. And then above that, we have the neocortex, a place for abstract thought and consciousness. And in Christ, we have more than all these things. For as Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. This is the fruit of the incarnation, our baptismal grace. And so we have a model for this, for making the right decision in St. Joseph, who did was able to overcome those impulses that Adam succumbed to. Think of Adam. We talk about how Eve was the one who gave in to the serpent's wiles, but Adam was looking on. And he has first responsibility for that sin because he did not protect his wife. And so in Joseph, in being willing to step out, was able to undo the knot that Adam tied. His yes to protect Mary undid the great no of Adam. Now, of course, Jesus is the second Adam, but the fulcrum of faith rested on Joseph. Would he make the decision to open the door for redemptive history to go forward? And so in this way, yes, Joseph became a fulcrum of faith. What about you and me when we're called to walk it out? This brings us full circle to the fact that God is with us in the command. The question is, will you trust this basic fact? All of us, especially in this context of American individualism, we feel like we need to prove ourselves. How much more men who feel like we need to prove ourselves to others? You know how difficult it is to ask for directions when you get lost in the car. But in this case, spiritually, often we feel like we need to prove ourselves to God, which is upside down. What God calls us to do is to let God prove himself to you. This takes great humility. After all, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. This is what is necessary to be able to step up and live as a man of God. This is what St. Joseph did, and this takes courage. But notice that the angel said to Joseph, "Don't be afraid." So this means don't allow fear to overcome you, because certainly Joseph had fear. He had reason to fear the consequences of taking this woman in with this unexplained pregnancy. But the definition of courage is not the absence of fear, but perseverance in the face of fear. And so Joseph had something bigger than himself. After all, as John says, "Yes, in the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Those are Jesus' words. And so you can ask yourself, we can all ask ourselves today, where have you been tempted to be afraid? Tempted to defend the faith in the office against detractors, in the cubicles? Where have you been tempted to give in to gossip and detractors against others? Where have you been tempted to not say grace in public when disapproving eyes are looking on? These are ways where the spotlight shines on you. These are ways where you're called to represent the church so that the kingdom of God goes forward. Will the fulcrum of faith, will the hinge of faith turn on you? Well, St. Joseph gives us the example as we read. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife into his home. As the story unfolds, and as we'll see in the coming days, God provided for him, and God will provide for you as well. As Pope St. John Paul II said, this response of faith for Joseph included both perfect cooperation with the grace of God that precedes and assists, and perfect openness to the action of the Holy Spirit, who constantly brings faith to completion by his gifts. And so will this be the case for you? As Mordecai said to Esther, "For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So let us allow grace to be work in our lives so that we can also exhibit that fulcrum of faith. Men and women, we have an opportunity to bring forward the Great Commission, men especially, to image fatherhood in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because boys see your example and they need new models. You can be a model after Saint Joseph. And so let us receive grace at the altar today so that we can serve and protect as our God has served us. It's good to gather here today as members of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we gather together downstairs for the one another fellowship of what it means to live out that body. So we have breakfast downstairs. If you're visiting with us, please join us. We'd love to talk to you further and share with you more if you have any questions about this charism that we've received from Pope Benedict XVI to bring forward the roots of the faith and newness and vitality. And as we go forward into the Christmas season, yes, there are... there's a lot missing through a fallen world. Even boys still, even growing up in the church, you don't know what it means to image Christ as their in their nascent image of fatherhood to protect. And this is an issue not only in Peggy Orenstein in her article in the Atlantic Monthly that I referenced in the homily. This is not isolated. This is pervasive throughout the country, she found, right? But it's not only an issue for those of us who are tasked with bringing up boys or modeling manhood for them, but for protecting our girls as well. But in every station of life, we always face challenges to live out our Christian calling with integrity. And what is the answer? The answer in all this is Emmanuel, God with us. Let us embrace that anew as we go forward into the coming days. And even by way of analogy, today we will be greening the church. Let it be a metaphor for the greening of our lives with Emmanuel.